Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
A Tale of Two Covenants from Galatians chapter 4. We are dealing with this section and with these concepts. And Paul's illustration of the two covenants that he likens to the two sons of Abraham, Isaac, the son of promise, and Ishmael, the son of the works of the flesh. And he tells us that those two sons are symbolic of two covenants. And what he says about these covenants fits, I think, perfectly into the theological concept of the covenant of works and the covenant of grace, which, though they are not named in the Scriptures as such, I think are clearly taught in the Bible, is a very sound theological covenant, theological concept. In fact, I think it's vital to a proper understanding of salvation and a proper understanding of the Scriptures. But the intriguing thing is that Paul is not talking about the covenant of works in terms of the covenant with Adam in the garden before the fall, as it is normally conceived of, but rather in terms of the Mosaic covenant delivered to Moses on Mount Sinai, which only makes sense, I'm convinced, if you equate the Mosaic covenant with the covenant of works made with Adam before the fall in the garden, and realize that the Mosaic covenant is a covenant of the same nature as the covenant of works, and is very different from the Abrahamic covenant, which is a covenant of grace. And so, with that premise in mind, I'm breaking apart this section and trying to show you what it teaches and why all of this is indeed a very biblical concept. Now, before we read the scripture in Galatians chapter 4 and get back into the section for today, let me simply remind you that the Beacon Broadcast depends in part upon the gifts of our radio listeners to remain on the air. And throughout the month of November, we are offering a book by Tom Wells entitled Come Home Forever, published by Evangelical Press, a book of about 70-some pages, to anyone who will send a gift of any amount to help us with our radio expenses. The address again is the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. And thank you for your participation. I read Galatians 4, 21 and following. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. All right, there you have it. The covenant of works, the covenant of grace. I've been contrasting the two. And over the last two broadcasts, we have looked at five areas of contrast, and we're going to pick up the last two and conclude this part of our study today, Lord willing. But let me review. Covenant of works, conditional. Covenant of grace, unconditional. Number two, covenant of works, bilateral, like a contract. Covenant of grace, unilateral, more like a last will and testament. Number three, covenant of works is an offer. The covenant of grace is a promise. Number four, the covenant of works is law, but the covenant of grace is by faith. Number five, the covenant of works is related to Adam as a federal head, but the covenant of grace is related to Christ, the second or the last Adam, the federal head of his people. And now we come to number six, the covenant of works is open-ended, but the covenant of grace is completed. What do I mean by that? Well, any endeavor to relate to God by terms of works is an open-ended, never-ending arrangement. It was with Adam. Adam did fall in the garden. But what if he had not fallen for 1,000 years? He would have lived all of that time. What if he had not fallen for 5,000 years? Been perfectly obedient to the terms that God had given him in the covenant. And of course, I'm speaking hypothetically now, but I must do that to make you think and understand the concept that I'm getting across now. But suppose Adam had lived for 5,000 years and had been perfectly obedient. He did not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He obeyed the Lord. He ate of the tree of life and the other trees in the garden and kept the garden and did exactly what he was supposed to do for 5,000 years. Would he then have secured life forever? Well, of course, it's all hypothetical. And some theologians postulate that there would have been a point in time when he would have been sealed in eternal life and would not have been in danger of falling from it. But we don't know that. All we know from the scriptures is that he had the command to obey, and at whatever point he disobeyed, he would surely die. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And that statement I would take to be true whether Adam disobeyed on day one or disobeyed on day 5,000,001. In other words, the covenant of works was open-ended. It was never finalized. It was never completed. It was never accomplished. Adam could always yet fail. He had not failed for, hypothetically, 5,000 years, but he could fail tomorrow on the first day after the 5,000th year. You understand. Very different from the covenant of grace, which is completed. It is finished. It is finalized. When Christ died on the cross, before he died, he said, "It is finished." It was a finished work, an accomplished work. It's not open-ended. It is not something which is never accomplished. It is something which was completely and perfectly accomplished by Christ upon the cross. And now it is simply for sinners to recognize their need and enter into Christ's accomplishment by faith. But what has been accomplished is settled. It's over. It's done. It's accomplished. It's finished. What a contrast between the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. And finally, therefore, number seven, the covenant of works is uncertain, but the covenant of grace is certain. The covenant of works is uncertain because there is no finality, no assurance. The works are never done. The obedience is never complete. Disobedience is always possible. Penalty is a constant threat. But with the covenant of grace, it is certain because it is perfectly and finally accomplished by Christ, and therefore, there is no uncertainty for those who understand what the Scripture is teaching and understand what Christ accomplished and understand the promises of God and rest upon those promises. There is no uncertainty. There is only certainty. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's certainty. Now, let me make a few applications from what we've been talking about in contrasting these two covenants. What I've been saying, I think, brings a better understanding to that phrase in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, which says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." That phrase has caused no end of difficulty and consternation and misunderstanding among God's people. What does it mean, you are no longer under law, but under grace? Does that mean that the law has nothing to say to God's people, that God's children have no responsibility to obey the law? No, that's not what it means, and here's why. It's a statement with an understanding of these two covenants. When Paul says you are not under law, what he's really saying is you are not under the covenant of works, the covenant of law. But are under grace, he's saying, you, because you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are under the covenant of grace. Everybody is related to God through either the covenant of works or the covenant of grace. Everybody is going to be evaluated on that great day of judgment at the judgment bar of God in terms of whether you are under the covenant of law or the covenant of grace. If you are under the covenant of law or the covenant of works, then you are going to be judged according to your works, and if they don't meet the requirements of the law, which means perfect obedience, then you will be condemned by the judgments of the law. So, recognizing that, you need to quickly renounce all trust in a covenant of works and go to God through Christ, claiming the grace which he has shown to us in Christ, and thereby relating yourself to God in terms of the covenant of grace, which means according to what Christ has accomplished on behalf of his people, and what is finished and forever settled and done. And when Paul says you are not under law, but under grace, he's telling the Roman believers that they relate to God in terms of the covenant of grace, not the covenant of the law. That, I think, is an important understanding. But you need to understand that children of Adam remain under the covenant of works until they are brought into the covenant of grace. Everybody relates to God in one way or another, and everybody who is in Adam relates to God according to the covenant of works until, coming to Christ in repentance and faith, they are no longer under law, but under grace. No longer relate to God under terms of the Adamic covenant, but rather in terms of the new covenant. And furthermore, you need to understand that God uses the preaching of his word, the gospel, to bring sinners to faith in Christ. And the law has a purpose. It is to bring conviction of sin. It is to bring fear. It is to bring alarm and despair and concern and seriousness for the very purpose of showing us that salvation can be found only in Christ. And therefore, you don't want to be related to God in terms of law or works, but rather in terms of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.